Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Crossbridge. It's nice to see everybody. Thank you for being here today. My name is Christian. I'm one of the elders here at Crossbridge. And for anybody visiting today, let me say welcome. We're very glad you're here. Can I just say, how is it already December? It feels like for me, we were just on summer vacation. But no, last week we enjoyed Thanksgiving, and we're less than 3 weeks from Christmas. I can't believe it. I love the Christmas season, the decorations, the Christmas music, even the cold weather. There's a lot of anticipation, the kids are excited, and doesn't it seem like everybody acts just a bit nicer to each other? And sometimes we get too caught up in the Christmas season, though, we lose sight of the big picture. And that's why I'm so excited for our Advent series. When I think of Advent, I think of the calendar we have at home where the children unwrap a Christmas ornament for their tree, or maybe in your house it's a piece of candy. And while the children are focused on the gift, we're really counting down the days until Christmas. Advent means the coming or the arrival. So this is a time we prepare for the coming or the arrival of Jesus. So we continue today with our series, Love Revealed. Today we're looking at how God's love is revealed to bring life. The life Jesus brings allows us to be a light in this dark world. We can all understand light in the physical sense, right? We have the sun or we have light bulbs. These help us see. But I think we all know that physical light is not what Jesus brings. In fact, most of us can comprehend a spiritual light from the opposite side, a spiritual darkness. We use this to describe how we feel. We say, I'm in a dark place, and everybody knows what you're referring to. I've experienced this myself recently. For those that don't know me, I work as an actuary. In a nutshell, I assess risk for pension plans. As with any job, I have deadlines, meetings to prepare for, reports to write, phone calls to return, normal pressure at work. But this pressure mounted in a major way recently when I had to give my first ever deposition about a calculation I did. Preparing for this testimony took up everything I had. I couldn't leave anything uncovered. I knew they would comb through everything we did for the past 2 years and make sure there were no holes. With the amount of money at stake, I knew their lawyer was going to shine a light on the case and not leave anything uncovered. He was going to get in the dark corners and expose anything that could have gone wrong. So there I was. Not only did I work Monday through Friday, but it took up my weekends too. I was reviewing files and procedures, trying to get ready to be the most prepared and confident I could be. And we all know this cycle and where it could lead us. For me, it was questioning whether I'm even good enough to do this job, or smart enough to be grilled by a seasoned lawyer, or what would happen if I messed up to my client, to my firm, or to my career. And stress at work leads to frustrations at home or miscommunications with my wife, because I'm still a husband and a father of two young children. So when work takes up most of my time, it leaves less time for family. It's a trickle-down effect. My wife has to pick up the slack, which is not ideal for any marriage. And this is when the stray thoughts creep into my mind or the feelings of temptation surround me. I felt under attack in my marriage, in my life, and everything. The darkness can be overwhelming at times. And now maybe you can relate to my story. When the darkness creeps in, what do we do? Does this process continue and just spiral out of control? Or do our marriages and friendships suffer? The darkness can be a funny thing. I realize this as a dad. I have young children, so maybe they get this when they get older, but I can't tell you how many times I've gone into their room, they're on their hands and knees in the dark, looking for a toy or a missing sock. I come in, I flip on the lights, and voila, the room is brightened and it's easier to see. We need the light in our life so we can see clearly, and we can be affected by the dark things we take in. Whether it's entertainment, bad advice from friends, or the world news, we are affected. Sometimes it feels like the deck is stacked against us. But there is hope, right? When the darkness creeps in, as a Christian, I'm grateful there's somewhere to turn. When work is overwhelming, or the house is a mess, or we're not communicating well with our loved ones, or when the world feels like it's crumbling, we have hope. And we have hope because the light, life that Jesus brings allows us to be a light in this dark world. Let me say it again. The life Jesus brings allows us to be a light in this dark world. And to explore this today, we're going to look at God's word and read about the life and the light. Our passage comes from John chapter 1. As you turn there, let me set up the passage. John is one of the four Gospels of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each book is an accounting of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. It's interesting, the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, can be read together. They have a lot of similarities, but John is different. Matthew, Mark, and Luke record the story of Jesus' birth and the nativity scene, but there's no baby in the manger in the book of John. John approaches the coming of Jesus in a different way. He presents Jesus as the Son of God and emphasizes his divine nature. John uses everything he can to show us that Jesus is God. His purpose is summed up later in the book, and my Bible even has a heading that says the purpose of John's gospel. Let's look at chapter 20, verses 30 to 31. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So the entire purpose of John's gospel is summed up in two things. Believe in Jesus, have life. The message today comes from John chapter 1, the first 18 verses, and it's referred to as the prologue of John. The prologue is a summary of what will take place throughout Jesus' ministry. However, it's one of the most complex theological statements in the Bible. So I'm going to try to do my best and help us understand this and how it applies to all of us. So let's go through the first four verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. So obviously there's a lot going on in these verses. So let's pull out some key items, again with our theme of Advent, the coming of Jesus. The chapter opens with, in the beginning. John uses this phrase to remind the reader of an important passage in the Old Testament, in the beginning. Now where have we heard that before? In the beginning. Anyone help me? That's right. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John uses that here to grasp his audience. He wants us to have the frame of mind that we're back to creation, back to before the heavens and the earth were formed. He goes back to when there was just God. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And this can be confusing. I know it was for me, so let's sort through it a little bit. There was a Word in the beginning before the world began. Well, which Word? The Word was with God and the Word was God. It's hard, right? Here, the Word is translated from the Greek word logos. It refers to a full and complete communication. It embodies thought, wisdom, reason, and rationality. Isn't that a word we could all use in our lives? Now, this wasn't just any word. Let's look at it again. Notice anything different about how this is written? Word is capitalized. It's a name. It references a person. And let's combine this with verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word, the Logos, was Jesus. John calls Jesus the Word because he had come to see both the words of Jesus and Jesus as a person as the truth of God. That the coming, the working, the teachings, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus was the final and decisive Word of God. Jesus is the message that God sent. Jesus is the Word that was there in the beginning. The Advent series is how God's love is revealed and that Jesus came to give life. God has revealed his awesome power by sending Jesus to this earth to live as a man in a way we can understand. Let's continue with verse 3. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Notice it says through him and not by him. That's important. It reminds us that God the Father is the source of all things, but Jesus is the force that brought it into existence. Everything owes its existence to Jesus. Just look at the world we live in, from the plants, the trees, the animals, the people, the rivers, the mountains, the oceans, even the air we breathe. Stop and think about that for a second, the air we breathe. How does that happen? Do you ever think about this stuff? Here, does anybody know what this is? Right. Somewhere along the way, we all learned about photosynthesis, the process by which plants convert sunlight into energy for the plant to grow. And what does the plant produce? Oxygen, which we need to breathe. Do things like this ever make you sit back and wonder just how God wove everything together? Or we can look deeper. Look at the cells of human body and all the complexity and design. Or how about his amazing design that babies can live in fluid while in their mother's womb, but never again after birth? He did that. Or we can go farther. The sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, and the solar system. God created all things through Jesus. The glory, grace, mercy, and love of Jesus Christ are stamped on everything. The imprint of Jesus is everywhere we look in all creation. Jesus came to give life. Verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. So here we have Jesus as the embodiment of both life and light. But what does he mean? How do we define life? Sure, we're living human beings because our lungs are filling with air, or our hearts are pumping, but that's not the life he's referring to. And we can't fully understand and grasp the point without going back to the Greek again and getting a better meaning. There are two words in life, or in Greek, for life, but they have very clear differences in their meaning. The first is bios. It refers to the duration of one's life, the time between their birth and their death. It's the physical life that we have. Bios is where we get the word biology, a study of life, or the word biography, a book about someone's life. Compare that to zoe. It is the essence of life, not limited by time. It's the absolute fullness of life. It is a life devoted to God. Zoe is the life that Jesus brings. It's personal. He came to bring us a spiritual enlightenment that allows us to be a light in this dark world. Without the light of Jesus, we're hopelessly blind. We're spiritually blind. We're stuck in the dark. The light makes it possible for us to see clearly, to see things as they really are. We are the children on our hands and knees in the dark looking for something better, and God came in and flipped on the lights. Jesus came as a light to help a blind world regain its sight so people have the way to eternal life, zoe. Jesus brought us a physical life, but he wants us to have an eternal life. Our physical lives will end one day, but the eternal life that Jesus brings does not have an ending point. Let's look at the verse one more time, but with zoe instead of life. In him was zoe, and that zoe was the light of all mankind. Zoe, a life devoted to God. So far in the first four verses, we've seen how Jesus was there in the beginning and before creation with God. All things were made through him. He came to give us life and light. John has introduced Jesus as the Word, the Creator, the Life, the Light, the Savior, and our Lord. Without Christ in our lives, we are lost. We are in the dark. Jesus came to give life, to light up the darkness of our sins so that we can see God. He promises us that whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let's go back to John chapter 1. Jump with me now to verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world which was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Here we have the announcement of the coming of Christ. The true light that darkness cannot overcome was coming in flesh and blood. The true light that would give life to you and me was entering the world. The true light that would free us from sin and offer eternal life was coming. But the world did not recognize him. Here we have the Word, the human form of God himself, coming to earth, and nobody recognized him. Men that were made through him didn't even know him. And this references back to a prophecy in Isaiah, how people don't believe because their eyes are blind and their hearts are hardened. But nothing's changed, right? 2,000 years later, with a book written all about it, and people still do not recognize him. Jesus came to his own people, but they did not receive him. This refers back to the Jewish nation. Jesus was born a Jew, but his own people did not receive him. They ignored and rejected him. They did not welcome him. In fact, they eventually crucified and killed him. I wonder if some people choose not to recognize them because of what it'll do to their lifestyle. Many people prefer darkness over light, but why? Because the light exposes them, and nobody wants to be exposed. In fact, we're afraid of being exposed. But this is why we're here. We are lost and hopeless in a blind and a dark world. We are looking for something better. We need the light in our lives to see this, to give us purpose and give us hope. Sure, we can continue living and hiding in the dark and being afraid of exposure, or we can receive Jesus into our lives and watch the darkness fade away. It's a choice we all have to make. It takes a desire, a willingness, an initiative, an effort on our part. It doesn't happen by itself. And it's a specific and personal choice that each of us has to make. Nobody can sponsor you to receive Christ. You're not automatically given the life and the light because your parents are Christians. You're not automatically given the life and the light because your spouse or your best friend is a Christian. You have to make the choice. And for those of us who have received him, we have the right to become his children. I love these verses. This is our great hope. If we believe in him, if we receive the free gift, then we will become what we're intended to become. I want to highlight two words from verse 12. The first is right. This is an authority or a power to be his child. What a powerful statement. What a privilege and an honor that is. And the second is received. Think of receiving as welcoming a visitor into your home. You receive them when you grant them access to your house. You took them in. Receiving the gift that Jesus brings is more than accepting it. You're most likely going to accept a few gifts at Christmas, but the one you receive is the one that takes hold of you. One year at Christmas, my daughter, Madeline, got several Disney princess doll sets. She got Ariel, Ursula, she got Beauty and the Beast, she got Flynn Rider and Rapunzel. She accepted these gifts. She had fun playing with them, but they didn't take hold of her. She didn't reserve a spot in her room just for these dolls. In fact, they're now laying around the house with tangled or matted hair, probably without clothes, and I think I stepped on one leaving for work. Now compare this to her stuffed bear. She named him Snuggly Bear. She enjoys this bear so much, she can't go to sleep without it. He has his own pillow on her bed, and the bear may be a girl, I'm not quite sure the gender, but she wants him to play with her and always around her. Needless to say, she received Snuggly Bear. She did not just accept it. And that's what it means to walk with the Lord. We have to receive the gift and not just accept it. We received his gift when we believe in his name. And our belief in him is more than just believing something's true. It's more about a conviction and a commitment which is expressed in our relationships. It fills us. It's a part of us. We have to make a step, make a choice. Let us publicly say, Christ is my salvation, my desire, my hope, and my life. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And if we come to him, we will not be hungry. If we believe in him, we will never be thirsty. He is the living water that quenches our need. And he also says, I am the resurrection and the life, and that whoever believes in him will not die. This is our chance at eternal life. Not only do we have to receive the life that Jesus brings, but we have to believe in him. And so what does it mean to believe in him? For me, I think about the fact that God took on flesh and blood and was born a baby on this earth for me. He paid the ultimate price for my sins before I ever committed them. He forgave me for the wrongs I've done in the past, and he's already forgiven me for the wrongs I'll do in the future. We need to be open to following him in all things because his path is a righteous path. Sure, there'll be dark times, but we brought us a light the darkness can just not overcome. He is our salvation, our hope, our rock, our strength, our peace, our healer, our helper, our Lord. We have the chance to become children of God. We need to receive the gift and believe in him. Notice it says become. We are taken to a new level. We are made new. Rick Etzel, the pastor of First Baptist Greer in South Carolina, put it this way. People are not Christians because of who they are, but because of whose they are. He continues, people are not are Christians not because they are born into a Christian family, but they are born again into God's family. People are not Christians because they are members of a church, but because they are servants in God's kingdom. People are not Christians because they follow a few rules, but because they have entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ. It all comes down to this. We are not Christians because of who we are, but because of whose we are. Let's close out our passage looking at verses 14 to 18. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Out of his fullness we have received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. I like to look at verse 14 as John's nativity scene. This is his baby in the manger. This is the truth behind the story of Christmas. This is how much he loves us. That the Word, Jesus, the Logos, became flesh and dwelt among us. And notice the phrase, full of grace and truth. The coming of Jesus is an expression of God's grace and a revelation of his truth. God sent Jesus from heaven for us. He brought with him the amazing gifts of grace and truth. And God is so gracious, he doesn't care what we've done. No matter how dark things have become, he'll meet us wherever we are. His light will overcome the darkness. And his truth, it's also translated as reality. He was not an idea or a concept, but a real person, God in human form. The fullness of grace doesn't come all at once, but in a progression of gracious experiences. Look at the text. We have all received grace in place of grace already given. There is so much here. I love the concept of grace upon grace. Just think of grace being stacked on grace and then more grace on top of that. What a beautiful thought that is. But that's a message completely for another time. Having Jesus on the earth and his life recorded in the Bible lets us know what God is like. His love is so big, it's unfathomable. He is so full of grace, he has already forgiven our sins. He restores our soul and brings us new life because he wants us to have a relationship with him. If we can trust in him, we can cast away our worries, doubts, fears, and anxieties. Without Jesus, we all walk in the dark. We are confused, lost, and hopeless. So God sent Jesus into the world as a light. He died for us. And through him, we are born again, and we can see the true light. God revealed the light so we can have eternal life through Jesus. I mentioned earlier about my recent rough patch and having to do the deposition. By the grace of God, I made it through it, and it turned out well. I woke up that morning with this calming sense about me. I was prepared and confident. They questioned me for over 4 hours, and it was videotaped if anybody ever wants to watch it. They tried to trip me up, but I held firm. They tried to poke holes, but I had answers. They tried to get me to second guess myself, but I remained calm and confident. I had a coworker ask me how I managed to stay so calm. I told her I had an army of people praying for me. And it was wonderful to look her in the eye and give the praise to God. So my challenge for you this week is simple. If you've already made the choice to follow Jesus, reflect on that choice this week. Set aside time in the busyness of Christmas for quiet and reflection. Thank the Lord for his coming to give life, to give light. He made you. We are called to bear witness to him. We need to remember that the life that Jesus brings allows us to be a light in this dark world. For the coming week, I'd like you to think about the lyrics to a pretty well-known song. It's simple. We teach it to our children. It goes, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Your challenge this week is to get these lyrics stuck in your head and let your light shine bright for God. And for those of you who don't have a relationship with Jesus, but you're here searching it out, I'm glad you're here and investing the time. If you're looking for answers about this life, they are found in the Word, in Jesus. If you're looking for the meaning of this life, they are found in the Word, in Jesus. If you're following a path in this life, you need to follow the word, Jesus. Through Jesus, we have the answers, the meaning, and the path to fill our deepest needs. If you're looking for answers to life questions, if you're looking for the hope of the world, if you're looking for the one who lifts every burden, if you're looking for the giver of eternal life, let me introduce you to him. His name is Jesus Christ. Think about this throughout the week and during the Advent season. I pray you continue seeking him and encourage you to ask questions and find out more. For Crossbridge Community Church, I imagine us being a bright light that people would notice, something that God would use to draw others to him. Something should be different because we believe in him. Again, the entire purpose of John's gospel was believe in Jesus and give life. Let us use the life and the light that Jesus brings for his glory. We're going to end the service today with a music video by Jason Gray. It's called Glow in the Dark. The worship team is not going to come back up. This is our time for worship. Please use the time to reflect, pray, and worship. During the video, I ask you, reflect on the life that Jesus brings, the life that allows us to be a light in this dark world. After the video, I'll come back up and close us in prayer, and then we're done for the day. You're welcome to stick around with quiet time with the Lord, and if you want prayer, I'll be up front. For the rest, I ask you to leave quietly through the back. The song is about how we deal with those dark times in our life. He sings, "He made you to glow in the dark. Let the world see what you're made of, that his love's alive in your deepest parts. Like a flame, like a burning star, you can shine right where you are. He made you to glow in the dark." Let's listen.
Sometimes the world feels like a mess, full of drama, full of stress. And life puts a fist right in your ribs. You can hide if you choose to, and no one would even blame you. Or you can let them see how you deal with it. That even in the darkest place, his love can make you radiate. Doesn't matter how deep, how dark the night is. Keep hoping, keep on shining. And they'll see his light burning in your heart. And if the road gets rough, just keep your head up. Let the world see what you're made of. That his love's alive in your deepest part. Like a flame, like a star, you can shine right where you are. He made you to glow in the dark. Don't be ashamed of your past if you're shattered like a piece of glass. The more broke you are, the more the light gets through. Show your wounds and your flaws. Show them why you still need the cross. See the work he's doing in you. That even in the darkest place, his love can make you radiate. Doesn't matter how deep, how dark the night is. Keep hoping, keep on shining. And they'll see his light burning in your heart. And if the road gets rough, just see what you made of. That his love's alive in your deepest part. Like a flame, like a burning star, you can shine right where you are. He made you to glow.
Will you pray with me? Lord God, we owe everything we have to you. Thank you for the life, the Zoe, you gave us through Jesus. Let us be a bright light to draw others to you in our homes, in our community, at work, at school. Wherever we are, Lord, let our light shine. And let us not just accept the light that you bring, but receive it and believe you in all things. Thank you for this time today. Let us honor you this week with the way we act, with the way we think, with the way we talk. We are so grateful for the light that you bring that the darkness cannot overcome. Be with us as we go, Lord, and let us glow in the dark. In your name, amen.